So I was just checking to turn the light off. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast with your host, Stephen Ball. And Andy, my imaginary friend. We've actually got a Facebook page, facebook.com/ the audio blog. A toast to all good men is needed. So yeah, I thought we would jump straight into the bullshit. So yeah, I mean, I love those applications, you know, but it's like, oh, you go on the App Store and it's like, freaking hell, next app. Mm. Then you open it and it's like, this app does this, and you're thinking, oh, do you know, if only I had that app. If only I had that, you know, a bit of time-wasting gubbins on my phone. And then you just download it thinking, oh yeah, if I've downloaded that stuff. Yesterday, we were talking about religion, weren't we, Andy? We were, actually. And you were discussing something very interesting about crystallized religions. And you were saying that all religions are kind of one. Was your belief on that? Okay, so my take on it is all religions are one, but they're segregated because the people within those religions are... It's all to do with law.
Mm.
I mean, even like Christianity is to do with law.
Mm.
Because the Christian faith and the Muslim faith.
Mm.
There are parts in the Muslim faith where it quotes the Christians, but there's no parts in the Christian faith where it quotes the Muslim faith.
Mm.
But it does say in the Old Testament about that. It does say, you know... Well, okay then. When Jesus died, it says he died for everyone. But did he die for the people that just believed in... This is the thing. No, he died for everybody. Mm. He died for... That's what I believe. I think he, you know, he died for every... Not just every belief.
Mm.
That wasn't the thing that mattered. He died for our sins. But he does say the things that are happening now that's in, you know, the Old Testament. You know, you look at the old, the New Testament.
Mm.
I mean, really, people should read the book of Revelation first.
Mm.
That's where they should start, because I think that's the beginning. I know it's probably a wrong way to view it.
Mm.
I'm with you, yeah.
Mm.
Because it says, because it quotes, it's like a circle almost.
Mm.
Well, I believe that Jesus, when he came back, I believe he died, came back, died, came back, and then went, but... Bolt. He only came back here once. But where was he next? I know what you mean, though. I mean, I got the thoughts of Jesus being a tree from Revelation. Because it says something about the two... You know there's two trees of life, don't you? There's two... There's the tree of life, which is the tree that Adam and Eve ate from. But then there's another tree of life. But you don't read about that one till Revelation. So the second tree of life, who's that? And it's made up of all different things.
We're within about an hour.
Right.
Do you want to wait till it's gone?
Yeah, I'll wait till it's gone. I'll wait till he's gone, Neil. So I think the second tree is Jesus. But it's all three in one. God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. They're all parts of the tree. In fact, I think it was also quoted in Lord of the Rings, because you know how it mentions the Ent and they're like trees, but they're like a... Well, they're not trees, really. They're like a special thing. They're a part of the forest, really. And they get given this drink, and these hobbits start growing, don't they? Mary and Pippin. But I always think, you know, without the tree of life, we wouldn't be able to grow. That's what I believe, you know, you wouldn't be able to grow as a Christian, per se. But it's like, a lot of people say, oh, well, Jesus died, Jesus was, you know, born, died, and that's it. Nothing else is important. Well, yes, nothing else is important, but how do you understand what's going on? How do you know? Well, you said, your mum said, like, about the souls floating. Yeah, well, that's what you believe, Andy. And I stick by that, but that's not what happens. Well, hold on. How do you know? Where's the proof? When someone goes, you don't see their soul coming out of their body. I know a friend who was an astral traveller. He did that coming out of your body stuff. And he said there was a friend, there was a dorm friend. It was when they were like sharing dorm rooms. And he said he looked dead for 30 minutes. Oh my gosh. Because he did it properly, you know. Actually left his body. But when he came back, he wasn't... Yeah, he was like... normal. But I always, I mean, I would love to The only reason why I would love to do that is to explore.
Mm.
But you can't. For me, I've struggled. Did you do it once or come at your body? Or I've tried a couple of times, but that's because I had a couple of goals that weren't very successful, per se. They weren't. But you can't. There are things like once the room starts shaking, that's it. That's enough for me. Have you got to that part? Have you got to that stage? Or nearly.
Mm.
Yeah, I can float.
Mm.
I could float. So I got that part right. I got the floating stage pretty well. Because I used to listen to my music on my headphones and just chill. And I'd close on my eyes and just think, just go to the ceiling. Just float to the ceiling. And I would float and hover. But I can't get to the next stage. There's too much. Once things start shaking, that's enough for me. And when I get too high, I want to come down. I want to sort of... literally, because it's like you're on a fairground ride almost. It's like, oh no. But you can, if you do meditation properly, I'll tell you an experience I had at men's group. I'm not allowed to mention the topics, but this happened to me, so it's fine. We used to do relaxation. And we always used to talk about our journeys, and then we didn't. We'd stopped. And this one day, I had my eyes closed on that. And I was a bit tired, you know, I was a bit hungover, but I was concentrating. No, just a bit tired, but I thought, I'm going to try. And they had this music on, and I was thinking about float into the stars, and next thing, the room started to move, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to go with it, and they had to turn the CD off, because they were worried about me falling off the edge of my chair. I actually felt so, wow, this is great, you know, but, there's those moments, but to do that, you've got to really, really concentrate. I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, you go into this dream state, whatever. But it takes a while to master it. You can't just put a piece of music on, close your eyes, and be within the heavens, whatever it may be. It takes a while to... takes a while to do it.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, the first few times you just crash and go sleep, but yeah. I mean, you're into dreams, aren't you?
Mm.
I really am.
Mm.
I don't know. See, the dream world. There's several different realms out there. There's the astral realm, which you mentioned. But I believe there's another realm when we go to sleep. I believe there's another world that we tap into.
Mm.
There must be, because... I always thought, where does I come from? And I remember one time I saw a hole open up in the wall. Oh yeah, Ars Cave. Ars Dinosaur Cave. That was a pretty cool dream, actually. Here's a tour around Ars Cave. But I didn't know later on that I was to become like this Dark Lord. I was too much into Star Wars and stuff and Harry Potter and all the rest of it. Too much into that sort of fantasy to realise that, oh yeah, that these things are there. Mm. In fact, I thought demons when I was younger, I thought these huge things. But they're not. They come in all shapes and sizes. A demon is a demon. That's, you know, what's to be said about that, really? Well, demons... I mean, obviously, I believe different. Obviously, I've had my own experience with that shit, to be frankly honest.
Mm.
And I laugh at it now. I really, really do. It took me a while to get over it. But what did you think it was? Did you think it came up with the music or... Bit of both. It was the music I was listening to back then wasn't great. But also the lifestyle wasn't great either. The woman I was with at the time was sucking the energy out of me completely. Not all of my energy. I'd still had a fair bit left. But also just the people just... I don't know. Wrong people, I guess. I was collecting all sorts of gothic art and... I was going towards that lifestyle. I wasn't sacrificing children or anything like that. None of that crap. But I did have... had some fiery artwork. You know. Yeah, I had some fiery artwork. And I also had... yeah, I suppose I probably was reading satanic stuff.
Mm.
But wasn't it a wasp or something? Yeah, it was a spiritual wasp. I had actually been stung by a wasp and that fear kind of livered me. But I'd hear this zzz, zzz. I'd hear it coming towards me. But I think it was two things. It was my ex-girlfriend, and I think it was somebody else.
Mm.
And I think that day I'd just been cursed, you know. I think people could curse you. I think they can put their own energies into you if they wish. And I think at the time I don't think it was to harm me. The other person, I don't think they were to harm me, they were to harm somebody else, but still. This wasp came. I'd get come people, you know, it started at college. And I get people to check my room. I'm like, oh, shit, you know. And there'd be no wasp there. There'd be a moth or a spider, you know. And it exhausted me. I came home. I thought, oh, great, no sounds of wasps or... Anyway, I kept getting mummy to check. I thought, this weird. Anyway. I was tired this one night, and mummy just said, okay. She put me to bed and had a bit of a headache, and it all went. And mummy was ironing, and she heard the thing. Anyway, that was it then. That was the end. But didn't your sisters hear it, or something along them lines, or... Yeah. They heard it later on. They heard it a year after me. But I just think now, oh well, if a wasp does sting me, I'll know it's real. You know. But yeah, that's it stuck with me, because I always think, what the hell was that? You know, what was it? You know. It's only for a while that you start sort of I don't know, wanting to see something else, I guess. I mean, we know what the godly figures look like, but we don't know what the ungodly figures look like until we see them. You know. But it's like you say, a lot of these figures in the church, you know, the satanic figures and stuff. Oh yeah, you were saying. Well, they do have the Catholic Church have the devil. And what was that monster that was in the Bible? And well, there's the Nephilim. But see, everyone's going, you know, you must believe this or that or whatever. But I had a friend who was this religion, where he believed in the stars. And I got him out of that. I said, look, I says, if you want to leave this circle, you go to them and tell them you're leaving. And I went with him, but I didn't say I was there. They were all like, they had this, they used to go into this like, place. They used to call it the Sanctum. And the Sanctum, and to leave that, you had to bow to the circle and all this. And he just went in and said, look, this isn't working. And he just left. Didn't anyone say anything? Or, oh, they did, yeah. They didn't let him. They weren't giving him a hard time. They didn't give him a hard. They didn't give him an easy time for years. He was. They thought he was dead. They kind of people who were friends with him and stuff. Kind of. He wasn't going to go to that again because it wasn't. You know, he could, there were certain things he couldn't do. He had to wait for his dominant being to call him or some stupid crap like that. Was there a big circle of them, or there was a massive circle of them? I mean, they were lovely people because I used to get invited to a couple of their events. I went to one of them. They had the honouring of the angel of whatever it was, and everybody would go and they would sing songs and they would read their readings or whatever. But you get helped in the end.
Yeah.
I think we should move on. All of this talk of religion. Bit early in the morning, isn't it? Bit early, you're saying. So, no one knows how we met, Andy. No one knows how we met. Do you think we should tell people how we met? We met at Arnside Road, didn't we? When we used to work for the other place, builders' offices. When we worked there, that's how we met. I came from... a telephone company, that's right. I think I moved over. But we weren't friends. I was friends with Colin Baxter, of all people. And then he accused you of being... We had an argument because I wanted to go somewhere and he didn't. There's also, they thought that I had a knife on me as well, that same night. What Colin did, yeah. I saved his, one of his mate's girlfriends from getting stabbed.
No, his mates saved him from getting...
Yeah.
That rat, Kelly. I thought... oh, yeah, Tony and Kelly. Yeah. She tried to kill him. 3 times. Yeah. I lived in a flat above them for a little while. I'll say a little while.
Mm.
The landlord was pretty shit, so I moved.
Mm.
But, he lives down on Side Road now, Tony.
Mm.
I'm not sure what his girlfriend is now, but...
Mm.
So, yeah, that's how we met. And then you stopped working for me for a bit, and then you came here, and... Boss Charles around. He called me a slave worker, slave driver.
Mm.
That was a bit of a nice compliment. You had a row with him, didn't you? He had the issue with me, I didn't have an issue with him at all. So everyone thinks I didn't have an issue with him at all. He had an issue with me.
Mm.
And then you met Rosemary, and through... I knew Rosemary before working here, but that's a long story. That's a long, long story. I got you guys, Rosemary, anyway, when you were at Arnside Road, so...
Mm-hmm.
But I was going out with someone, or I was seeing somebody, so I couldn't have anything to do with Rosemary. I was seeing a girl called Laura... Sorry, no, Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was a strange woman. What happened with her? Did she... So she... she had a flat on... She actually had a flat. You know as you go down... Well, you go along, you know where St. Mary's is?
Mm.
Well, there's a street off St. Mary's. It's quite a quiet street, but that's where she lives. And she's lived there for a long time.
Mm.
When I lived with her, she lived on Duke Street. But she was booted out there because... she was literally... stealing from people down there. But she wasn't... she didn't hang around with the right crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You went out with that Helen for a while, didn't you? Yeah, for 2 weeks. And then she pissed off. She was a one as well. That Helen.
Mm.
Helen Roberts. Helen, no, not Helen Roberts.
Mm.
I think was it Helen Unison. What happened to her? God knows. I think she got married. But she was with a boyfriend. and they were both players. Now, he was a player and she was a player. But she wasn't Robert Downs. Now he's never changed. I think he's going out with that Kelly. But she, I mean, they're both, you know, they both got their issues, per se. But when Robert was with Helen, like, she was a hard nut and he was a hard nut. But it was like, I found out that she was with him after 2 weeks. I was like, Helen, what are you doing with him? You're with me. Oh, I'm going out with him. Oh, fucking hell. I was like, oh, right, okay then. Okay, you know. Be done with it. Say what, you know, say your piece. And, you know, but yeah, because Colin went out with her for a month. It was more than that, because they went living together. I know, but they went for a month. And she disappeared. I went out with her before Colin. I went without Becky for a while. And she had a kid, didn't she? No, that's the new thing. She didn't have the kid when she was with me. But I feel sorry for her because that crowd of losers.
How did you meet Adam? Where did you meet him? Wasn't Southport, was it, originally?
Adam.
Yeah.
Because he's from Manchester, isn't he? Adam is, yeah, well, Adam's from, no, he's not from Manchester. Adam lived in Manchester for a bit.
Aren't you down south as well, because you've got a bit of a southern twang?
Me, nah. Not from, oh yeah, I was in, whatchamacallit, for a little while. I lived in Bath for a little bit. To do my training. Did my training for the security place. That was fun. I was dead posh down there. I was called the posh boy. Well, it's strange because when I finished in Harrogate and I came back to Southport, I started talking, oh, la-di-da. I didn't know I had a posh voice, but I'd lost my Yorkshire accent. You know, when I went to, I've lost recordings of me when I was in Yorkshire. And I had a real... I knew someone from Bradford. And I love the Bradford... You know, from Bradford because... You know, or York. You know someone from Bradford or York because... It's like, well, York has got like... sort of an edgy... It's more sort of...
Jarry or something.
I know, yeah. It's more kind of sharper. Whereas, like, you know someone when they come from Leeds or Bradford because they've got more of a full-on, you know, tone to it. You know. But, it's like you know when people come from Formby. Yeah, they've got like two sort of, they've got like a northern but sort of, it's like their own little twang, you know. They say that about sound grounders, don't they? They kind of, yeah. We've got sort of a mixture between Scouse and whatchamacallit? You know, you've got sort of Scouse and Lancashire twang, you know, which... I mean, I've heard some people say, oh, you come from Southport, you're a Scouser. Bloody Scouser, oh my bloody hell. Well, you know, you get that, don't you? I think because you're from the Merseyside now, so anybody in Merseyside, you know. I remember a time, I think was it the mid-90s, people used to say, oh, there's no Scousers in Southport. I think that was a joke going back. I think now, you know, it makes no odds. But... And I think it's like you go to places where they sort of speak their own language and, you know, I remember working like one of the security firms, and you knew they were a gangster type place when they said certain things, and you think, oh, blimey. You were looked after, weren't you, Andy? Because the... Oh, yeah, well, when I left... And I had a drink and said, oh, Andy's coming in tonight. Look after him.
Yeah. I remember that story, because you said all the doormen on the place near you were like, don't touch him, he's one of us. I'll tell you, you know, I do think that there are, you know, in the places where you go to, and they do have their own way of living, speaking, and,
well, that security firm, the second one, the one that was run by all the gangsters, they had their own police station. They had their own, these gangsters were in their own police station. When I went to a football match, there was a guy who had a knife. And he met one of us, he got one of us to, you know, hired one of us. Now, your general Joe couldn't do that.
No.
Your general Joe couldn't, he was like a millionaire football hooligan, but one of our customers, and he was well respected. Well respected. I think though, knives in this country are like guns in America, you know. You know, it's like but I don't know, because they're making it harder now to buy knives. Enough people carry them, though. Going off on a tangent again.